Hello, I'm Megan Frisk, and welcome to the Science Translational Medicine podcast for February 20th, 2013. In this show, I will be speaking with Dr. Karen Chrisman from the University of California, San Diego, about using biomaterials to help heal a damaged heart. Most people survive a heart attack. It's what comes next that is difficult to prevent and to treat. After a heart attack, or a myocardial infarction, the damaged tissue forms a scar that initially helps out with repair. But over time, the tough scar weakens the underlying tissue and the heart can't pump blood properly. This leads to total heart failure. To help the heart heal scar-free, Karen Chrisman and her team developed a biomaterial that can be delivered directly to the site of damage after a heart attack. The material, called myocardial extracellular matrix, is derived from the heart tissue itself. The authors tested out their new material in a pig model of myocardial infarction, which closely resembles a human heart attack. They also tested their material in rats to make sure it is safe for human use. Here now is Dr. Chrisman on the line to tell us more. Welcome, Dr. Chrisman. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So your material is from actual heart tissue. Can you tell us more about it and why you chose it for this repair mission?
Sure, yes. We derive it directly from actually porcine hearts. So we take a heart and we actually take specifically a portion of the heart that we're trying to treat, what's called the left ventricle, the main pumping chamber of your heart. And what we do is we strip out all the cells and just isolate what's called the extracellular matrix, which is a protein framework that all of your cells sit in. And the idea for using that was that once you have a heart attack, your natural extracellular matrix is degraded in your heart, and the cells no longer have anything to attach to or to help to grow new tissue. So we thought the best thing to deliver to the heart would be what was initially there in the first place. And so we developed this liquid form of this cardiac extracellular matrix that, once it goes into the tissue, can reassemble back into that natural scaffold.
And when you injected it into pigs, did you find what you expected?
We did, and I would say we actually found even more than we expected. So we had previously done studies in a rat model of a heart attack, and we did find that the material would help with cardiac function, and we saw that we got some stem cells coming into the material. But when we looked at the cell response in that model, it was a very short time frame. So we were expecting to see something similar in the pigs, but what we found was, in addition to those findings, so it improved cardiac function, when we looked after 3 months after we had given the treatment, we found a significant increase in cardiac muscle as well as a decrease in scar tissue. And while we were hoping to see that, you know, that was an exciting new finding, since ideally after a heart attack you want to reduce as much scar as possible and get as much muscle as possible.
Everything you did in this paper was focused on translation. Can you explain how you designed your experiments in the pigs to mimic the clinical situation?
We wanted both the model to be as close as possible to what a human experiences when they have a heart attack, as well as how we delivered the material. We wanted that to be as close as possible how a patient would actually get it. And so rather than doing a surgical-based procedure to give the animals a heart attack, we did everything percutaneously, which means by catheter. And so what we did is we deployed a small coil that actually forms a clot inside one of the arteries in the heart, and that creates a clot just like you would have a clot in a heart attack, forming a heart attack in these animals. And then we also took another catheter 2 weeks later and delivered our material via a catheter that is set up through an artery in your groin and set up all the way into your heart, and then you can perform multiple injections to deliver the material. So we chose that catheter delivery since that's currently what's being done to deliver cells in clinical trials, and we chose that two-week time point since it's not really feasible to get an injection in someone's heart immediately after they have a heart attack, which is what a lot of models, animal models, do. So we chose to have a more clinically relevant time point of 2 weeks after a heart attack to really try to mimic that clinical situation.
What other things did you need to test to make sure you were going to have successful translation?
Yeah, one of the really important things when you develop a new biomaterial is looking at something called biocompatibility, which is essentially the body's response or the tissue's response to that material. And so because we do intend to use a porcine source for our material moving forward into human patients, it was really important to look at the response of that material in another species. And so one of the first things we did was look at the response in rats to see if it was, in fact, biocompatible, to make sure it wasn't being rejected or walled off or causing any type of chronic inflammation in the heart, which none of which we found. And then another important aspect also, since we're dealing with the heart and catheter delivery, where you're injecting into the heart, however, you're always going to have some leakage from that catheter that goes into the bloodstream inside of the heart. So it's really important with any material that's delivered to the heart in this manner to make sure it's compatible also with blood. And so we did a few studies, including doing a direct injection into the inside or the lumen where the blood is inside the ventricle, making sure it wouldn't cause any clots, and also did a number of studies just in vitro or outside the body using human blood to make sure that didn't interfere with clotting, either slowing it down or speeding it up, and found that at the concentrations that are clinically relevant, we didn't see any effects on the blood, either in vivo or in these just in vitro tests.
So your material is safe, it's biocompatible, it works in rodents and in pigs, you've tested it in the clinical scenario. Is the material ready for use in humans?
That is what we are planning. So I co-founded a company, Ventrix Inc., who is right now finalizing the manufacturing of a clinical-grade product. So that's the main step that needs to take place prior to going into the clinics. And so Ventrix is currently finalizing that process, as well as starting to prepare for a clinical trial in Europe at some point this year.
And assuming this material does become a product, how do you envision it being used in the clinic?
So initially, we're targeting what's called more acute MI or acute myocardial infarction. So this would be patients who have come in, they've had a heart attack, they likely have gotten a stent placed in to restore some of the blood flow to their heart, but they still have depressed cardiac function. And so we can come in between, say, 1 and 3 weeks later and try to prevent that person from going in this negative remodeling process that leads them into heart failure. However, we do think this material also has the potential, especially because of the new cardiac muscle we saw forming, has the potential to treat also heart failure patients and potentially reverse some of that decline in cardiac function. But we intend, like I mentioned, initially to treat more acutely to try to prevent them to go into heart failure, and then as a follow-up subset of patients, try to also go after these heart failure patients.
Now, I have to ask you to look back on years of testing and developing this material. Can you tell us about any barriers you've encountered or perhaps expect to encounter in translating the material from proof of concept to commercially available product?
One of the things that people will always say immediately when you say you have a porcine-derived product is the issue with a porcine-derived source. And I would say we've kind of crossed that barrier because there is clinical precedent. There are a lot of porcine-derived extracellular matrix products that are mainly surgical patches, nothing injectable, and that have shown really good safety profiles. So I think that was one barrier that, because of that historical precedent, was kind of easy to cross. And then I'd say one of the other challenges is, while one of the benefits is it is a naturally derived material, it mimics that natural extracellular matrix so nicely, because it's naturally derived, it also has some variability. And so controlling the manufacturing process and tightly controlling it is something that is maybe not quite as easy as a synthetic material. The last barrier, of course, is clinical adoption of this material. So this has worked tremendously in the pig model as well as the rodent model, but we'll really have to see, you know, what happens when this goes into patients, and hopefully we get very similar results.
Dr. Chrisman, thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations on an exciting paper.
Thank you very much.
That was Karen Chrisman, assistant professor in the Jacobs School of Engineering at the University of California, San Diego. Check out her paper in the February 20th issue of Science Translational Medicine by going to our website at stm.com. www.sciencemag.org. I'm Megan Frisk, and thanks for listening. This podcast is a production of Science Translational Medicine and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, working together to advance science and serve society.